Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
I'm going to just offer a sort of commentary on this because I didn't take up all my time at the beginning and I thought it might be more useful to reflect with a voluntary sector perspective after the two speakers. So I just want to pick up a few things that we might then pick up in questioning afterwards. But I think the first point to make is that I think that the voluntary sector is not, by and large, a key partner in most of the discussions that are ongoing at the moment. So I'm not going to have a bit of a rant about this. I think, which makes a change in the voluntary sector, of course, because I think that organisations concerned with FIPS around the table in some areas, but maybe, and I think that might come up from the points that you were making today, is that at the moment there's an awful lot of planning and organising going on and trying to work out what happens to all this information that you're developing, what sort of services are you going to provide, and at that point I think the commissioning might start from the voluntary sector. And I think that follows on from the point that Andy was making about this will really require a different sort of commissioning, and it might well be just family focused as well. So spot purchasing, of course, is always quite a complicated area. But it also occurs to me that in some of our services, I talked earlier about having done a spot purchase and saying that in some of our services, 28% would appear to be within the troubled family type definition. But if we're already key working some of this, and if it applies in our services, it will apply in other voluntary organisation services. The question is, how are you going to work with those families? Are you going to actually boost some of the services that we offer, or will the opportunity be there to move those families from our services back into your own and into the more mainstream areas? And I think that thought is worth pursuing. I think just to pass a few comments on other things that have been made by the two speakers. I mean, first of all, I think that housing is also a big area that we need to be looking at, particularly those in urban areas, because one of the things that we've always learned from so many of the inquiries that have happened after child deaths is the mobility of families with complex needs. They move on from borough to borough to borough and local authority boundaries and get lost in the system. And I think that it's always been the case. It will get worse with the new caps that apply on housing benefits. So I think that's one of the areas that you might need to bring much tighter into the partnership. And this is always, I think, a challenge, particularly now with so many providers of housing and social housing in particular. But I think it's a real issue. Then I think there's the high-risk families. And I think one of the things that I think Wendy picked up were the families that are bumping along on the bottom. And I think they often fall underneath the threshold for any kind of definition at all. And they worry me. And actually, they worry you, because these are the families with high levels of neglect. Many of them have got parents who have got, say, learning difficulties. They are often high-cost families, but they're not necessarily high-harm families. But these are the ones where we have sleepless nights on a Friday night thinking, what are we doing about those families? Where is the risk and how are we managing that? And I think they, again, at the moment are perhaps falling below the threshold. But certainly when you look at the report that was produced after the riots, it's families that were bumping along the bottom, which actually were one of their major areas for concern and interest. And then just from the benefit of our experience, I mean, I think this targeting and the heavy intervention is really important part of this programme. I couldn't agree with that more. But I do think that the other area that I would say, having managed so many family support workers as part of our services, it's about half of our budget is family support workers working in people's own homes, is the actual challenge of training and managing, supervising and managing the risk. I mean, so many of these families, and if you're going to work with them, they're after-hour type interventions as well. They are high risk families and the work is very, very stressful and often dangerous. And family support workers are not always qualified workers. They don't have those years of experience of working as social workers or teachers on the ground. So I couldn't agree more about the need to invest in that area. And then I think finally my point is about the savings that are going to be made. And it is very hard to do this. And this is, and I think you're absolutely right, Andy, is to say that there will be savings that are made, but whether or not they can ever be realised is another matter. And I referred you earlier to our review of our Building Bridges service that's on our website, but I'd also refer you to the C4EO report on grasping the nettle, and it's about early intervention and what works. And as part of that, they've done a cost-benefit analysis, basically, and of some of our Building Bridges work, alongside doing the same thing for other service providers as well, and actually have worked up things like, you know, a troubled family will cost something like $130,000. Or that's what the savings could be on an investment, in our case, of about $4,000 to $5,000. And so the savings can be sort of categorised. Whether or not you can realise those, I think, is very different, because what you're doing is it's you know, it's 5,000 from criminal damage here, it's 2,000 there. So I think it's very, very hard to work this out. Nevertheless, I think in terms of freeing up capacity and allowing people to focus very often on their own mainstream work is one of those areas that I think needs to be brought into the evaluation of the projects. It's not only about cash savings, it's about how this enables people to get on with their work, as well as the benefits of families. So that's my comments, and I think we'll open it up for questions.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.